Governor Chris Christie today declared that New Jersey will no longer accept Syrian refugees in the wake of Friday night's attacks in Paris. His action mirrors the sentiments of most governors now who contend that background checks are not sufficiently stringent to ensure safety. Let's look at whether Governor Christie is on solid legal ground with his decision. For that, I'm joined by University of Pennsylvania Professor Fernando Cheng Moy. He teaches refugee law and policy. Professor, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
My pleasure.
Well, quite simply, do Christie and other governors have this authority?
So, not as simple, but I don't think so. I mean, the refugee resettlement process is sort of simple. Congress decides how many refugees are allowed in, and then the executive branch, the president with a couple of other departments, the Department of State, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Department of Homeland Security, they interview folks abroad who are in need of protection, and then they're brought in. But before they are brought in, they are vetted stringently for grounds of exclusion, like do they have a contagious disease or a criminal or record check or security grounds. And then they're brought in, and the world is divided into parts. And so, as you may know, 70,000 are allowed in. The president said every year he'll raise it to 10,000 more, given the situation with very vulnerable Syrians. So the federal government contracts with the state government, and in every state there's something called a refugee coordinator. In the Commonwealth, that person is housed within the Department of Human Services. And then that department, the Department of Human Services, the Office of Refugee Resettlement here in the state, then contracts with agencies to bring people in. So, for example, we might get 10 Somalis, 20 Burmese, 100 Syrians.
Professor, once a refugee legally gains access to the United States, regardless of which state, is he or she then free to go where he or she pleases, to other states?
Yes. Once you arrive, in the scenario I posed, you are resettled from, you went from Somalia to Kenya. In Kenya, you're now, you passed the refugee test. There's no medical issue. There's no security reason. And now you are flown to Pittsburgh. You live there in Pittsburgh for 3 months, and you heard that there are better jobs in Montana. So you'll go get on a Greyhound bus and travel to Montana. So that's what we call in this world secondary migration. It happened a lot with Russian Jews. You are, for the listeners in Pennsylvania, you get resettled in Northeast Philly, maybe not enough jobs, maybe you don't know enough people there. So now you'll go after 3, 4, 5, 6 months, or maybe next year, you'll go to Brooklyn, where there's a large and thriving Russian Jewish community.
Take us back to 9/11. Was there a similar sentiment post that horrific date, and toward what end?
Sure. There were amendments to the U.S. immigration law, or proposals to amendments, because of September 11th. But, you know, when we fought, long time ago, when we fought the Vietnamese, there were, and we brought in refugees from Vietnam. No one said among this group of refugees from Vietnam coming in are secret communists who somehow went from North Vietnam to South Vietnam and are now infiltrating. When Castro declared Cuba to be communist and people from Cuba started coming in the 60s, 64, 66, 72, and 1980, we didn't say, you know, there are secret bad spy communist terrorists who Castro put on boats or on planes to come here. This kind of rhetoric didn't come about.
Although, referring back to Friday, apparently one of the perpetrators did come in with a wave of migrants, though your point on the face of it is well taken regarding Vietnam and Cuba. So I'm wondering why you think Syrians are held in a different regard.
Well, because of the ISIS situation. And so with every group of large waves of immigrants coming in, we could have said the same thing. As to the people coming in, are they really people who are against their regime, but inserted in that wave of people coming in? Or is there a bad apple? And that could happen anywhere. Any American could go to France, for example, to use the example of the horror that just happened. You could go to the United to France as a tourist, and then who is to know that you're going to go to your hotel room and cook up a bomb and explode it? You know, this happens with our own U.S. citizens Timothy McVeigh, is a domestic terrorist, but who was to know that he would do the horrors that he perpetrated? So, of course, every group could have a bad apple, but we have seen that immigrants are assets rather than weaknesses to economies.
Timothy McVeigh, who you cited, was a free agent and individual, but it is ISIS that you represented as a group of which some members do perhaps penetrate the security systems and come into foreign countries.
Right. So we see ISIS in the Middle East. Therefore, all Middle Easterners are members of ISIS. You know, is that a logical way to form an opinion? And so we have, I just saw news recently that as of yesterday, maybe 22 governors have said that they're not going to take any Syrians.
As of our speaking, it's actually a majority now.
Yeah, exactly. So things change quickly. The issue of secondary migration, though, is an issue that I'd be interested in seeing how this plays out. So maybe Congress can pass a law that says we'll take people from Asia, Latin America, Central America, Africa. We're not going to take anyone from the Middle East because we believe that they're terrorists. But for those people already here, or if that doesn't happen, if they are brought here because they've proved themselves to have a well-founded fear of persecution, how are we going to stop people from what we call secondary migration? Once you arrive in Miami, you can move off to Georgia, or if you're resettled in Pennsylvania, you can go to a better job or to be reunited with your cousin in New Jersey. How are they going to monitor or do that? Will there be borders at every within domestic borders, just like there is in Europe?
Professor, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you for inviting me to chat with you.
University of Pennsylvania law professor Fernando Chang Moy.